Welcome to the official Robcast podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and this is my podcast. All right. Sorry, that was... Why does my voice always sound like this when I talk into a microphone? I don't know, my voice never really sounds this deep in real life, and yet it feels like I'm gonna be playing a didgeridoo. Excuse me. You know, human sound is an interesting thing, isn't it? I know that some people are deaf, but they can still feel vibrations, and that's, you know, what's interesting about sound waves. You can feel them. I mean, they can feel the same bass vibrations as we can feel. I believe the, where was it? At Gallaudet University, there is a vibration bell for, when students are supposed to, no, I guess they don't have bells at universities, do they? It's not like a high school where you have to make sure that, all the kids are in line. No, what I was trying to say is that the human voice can really have an effect on people. And I don't know if it's because it's human or it's because we recognize our own, or it's soothing to us, or it sounds maternal or paternal. I know that they used, interestingly enough, when there's pre-recorded things for, say, emergency situations in public areas, like the New York City subway, or even just, you know, warnings, small warnings, they'll use a man's voice, right? For those of you who have been to New York, stand clear of the closing doors, please. Although in London, there's a woman saying, "Mind the gap, mind the gap." I used to have a t-shirt that says, "Mind the Gap." And I think maybe that's just the difference between British. They're polite to a T. And we're rude to a coffee. No. You know, it's just like we were talking about before, when a British person... We'll start a sentence with "sorry," when they're not sorry for anything. Maybe they're sorry for interrupting my life. Maybe they're intruding upon my day. But that's pretty assumptive of them. I mean, maybe I welcome them. I don't know why I elongated the welcome. Maybe I welcome them. I remember this one story. It's not a story, it's a memory. It only becomes a story when I say it out loud, or write it down, or record it in some sort of way. But I remember this one time in, was it Waterloo Station in London? Where I was lost, and I was like, can you point me in the direction of, and this businessman, he was wearing a suit, He had the Financial Times under his arm. He had an attaché. He literally took time out of his day, walked me to where I needed to be, and then wished me luck on my day. I'm an American, a college student at this point, and I was just like, what is going on? Like, these people are so polite. This is crazy. It really took me back. I mean, it threw me for a loop. What does that mean? Threw me for a loop. Does that mean, someone, I don't know. I'm wondering if it's some sort of old cowboy terminology, right? Like a lasso threw me for a loop. That'll be something I'll be looking up. Interestingly enough, the first thing I thought of to look that up was the internet, right? I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you have access to the internet. And the internet is just an instant treasure trove. If you want to know something, it's there. Now, you have to understand what reliability is and what a reliable source is, and you have to assume that some of the online publications of well-standing newspapers and journals have a journalistic reputation, but at the same time, you can find out anything you want to on the internet. And, you know, if you were to say, oh, I don't know, just somehow put the internet in your brain, you have all that knowledge, you've got all this information. What would that do for you? I mean, having that in your brain, I mean, having the internet is kind of like having a brain cloud, right? And we talk about putting our files on the cloud. Well, the internet is like the cloud for our brains. You know, I don't need to store all of this information here. Let me utilize the internet. That's why I don't always understand standardized testing. It's like, in this day and age, when will we ever be in an incident in a situation where we're not able to use the internet? I mean, it's almost everywhere now. So, like, you know, my niece was telling me that she's taking the ACTs, which is essentially a bunch of multiple choice questions that will decide the future for you, whether or not you're going to go into college and whether or not you're getting into a good college. And in fact, it's a pretty biased thing anyway towards families that are more economically sound. People are buying tutor lessons and paying for the test multiple times, and then they take your average of all their best scores and this and that. So, you know, if a family is not able to pay for tutoring lessons or, you know, pay for multiple tests, then their child is SOL, as they say. But, you know, in the first place, besides the fact that they're separating children this way into, you know, socioeconomic statuses. I mean, if you can't really study properly for these kinds of tests, and let's just be honest here, they want you to know a specific type of information, a specific amount of information that they are going to test you on. It's standardized. Well, how do you test human intelligence? How do you test to see if someone is a good candidate to go to college? How do you test to see if they are smart enough? They have developed these tests, these ACTs. Now, I'm assuming, this is just an assumption, because I have not taken a standardized test since I took the SAT in high school. And interestingly enough, they let me take the SAT untimed. And I think, had I more patience, I would have been able to get a higher score. And maybe my life would be different. Maybe I wouldn't be out in Los Angeles in the entertainment industry. Or maybe I still would. Who knows? But I think that my point is, we always have the internet. So therefore, if we understand how to learn something, then we essentially have learned it, right? If we can go into, say, Google and do a search for throw me for a loop, I'm at the end of my rope. You know, if we know what that is called, if we know the term, the literary terminology for throw me for a loop, I'm going to guess it is an idiom. I may be wrong, which would make me an idiomit. And I idiomit that was a terrible pun, but I'll keep going. And by I'll keep going, I mean I'll keep breathing and living and talking. Sometimes emotions can make us feel like we want to cease to exist, but somehow our physiological being keeps going. I mean, you know, you have those teenagers that get so embarrassed, they go, "Oh my God, I want to die, I'm so embarrassed." That was my impression of a angsty teen who did something embarrassing or had someone else do something embarrassing to them, most likely their parents. Maybe their parents showed up at their high school dance and said, "You weren't allowed to go to this high school dance. You're coming back with us." Just a scenario of some overbearing parents. But, you know, if you do have the internet at your fingertips, as it were, and I apologize for those of you who do not have fingertips, although good on you, because you will be able to have fingerprints taken and therefore be kept in a file by our government. No, I think that this human level intelligence of understanding and comprehending what is on the internet is a really interesting thing, because if we introduce artificial intelligence, right, which is already here, you know, we cannot deny it. It's, you go on Facebook and it can tag your friends through facial recognition software. There are algorithms that are run by robots, designed by humans, but run by robots that essentially, you know, in Instagram, instead of getting one like here, one like there, it'll save your likes and give you what's called a burst. And it does that to manipulate your feelings. If you have, say, 5 likes all of a sudden when you look at your Instagram page, you'll feel a lot more satisfied and happier than if you looked at it once, you got 1 like, you looked at it twice, you got 2 likes, you looked at it 3 times, you get my drift. You catch my drift. That's another one, huh? You catch my drift. Are you smelling what I'm stepping in? That's another one, but I don't quite understand it, and I use it wrong all the time. But, you know, it's there to manipulate our emotions. It makes us feel like we're being seen. That's all it comes down to, right? Hey, I'm being seen. I mean, is that why I'm doing this podcast? Well, you can't see me, but you can hear me. You can hear my smooth, mellifluous voice every week on the Robcast Podcast. I ummed because I got self-conscious. And what if artificial intelligence became self-conscious, right? So self-aware, self-improving. So not only do you have a program that is meant to do one simple thing, it's meant to hold the amount of likes you get on Instagram until you've amassed, as many likes as, more likes at once. Well, if a machine was there to be self-improved and improved upon itself, then perhaps it would start, if we're just giving the scenario at any cost, they'll say, well, I'm programmed to keep this human being happy. So maybe instead of withholding likes from people who like it, I'll start creating accounts of Instagram followers that aren't real but look real, and I'll always make sure that those accounts like Rob's posts. Well, now all of a sudden, I've got more followers and more likes. I don't know where they came from. It's the internet. Who knows who these people are? This is just, these are essentially, what do they call them? You have a picture representation of who you are on the internet. It's like, tip of my tongue. Not monogram, not algorithm. Here's what'll happen. I'll split my focus and I'll continue babbling on for an extended period of time until I think of it, in which case then I'll reward myself audibly. What's it called? You know, when you represent, like, it's called an avatar. And now I've spent so much time trying to think of what the word is that I was trying to think of that I can't remember why I was thinking of the word in the first place, and now all I can think of is James Cameron and blue people. And who is it? Zoe Saldana? Interestingly enough, I've never seen that movie, so I don't actually know what it's about or care. But these Instagram accounts are essentially just avatars. I mean, some of them are people that you know. We keep in touch with our friends. It's a pixelated version of that. I mean, you know, it's not really as hard to, let's just have this scenario. let's just say we don't have the internet and we don't have digital photography. So someone takes a photo. First of all, they need film. So they go out and they take a photo, and maybe, you know, they have to take a lot of photos of the same thing because they don't know what they look like. They can't see them afterwards until they develop them. Then they go develop them, and then they think, wow, you know, one of these is really great. I really want to share it. So they go over to a friend's place, or they have a friend come over, and a friend comes over, and they just put it on display. They can't say, hey, do you like my photo? All they say is, hey, I took some photos. And then the friend goes, oh, I like that. Well, now it's as easy as sitting on the toilet or sitting in bed, flipping on your phone, which is something that we constantly do. I mean, you know, the moment boredom tries to creep in, we take our phone out and we go right towards the social media apps thinking, oh, I'm lonely, let me feel connected. And we go on and either post a photo or look at a photo that we've already posted or look at other people's photos, and we just press our thumb down twice. Oh, there you go. I liked that photo. Hey, I liked that. Hey, this is us connecting. I liked that. So let's go back to the scenario of the artificial intelligence that is self-improving. So if you program this artificial intelligence to say, hey, you know, essentially through this program, keep me happy. Well, like, who's telling what might happen next? I mean, the next thing that might happen is that this artificial intelligence might start leaving comments from these bot accounts, or maybe they'll hack into your friends' accounts and commandeer them and leave comments there, which will therefore, I mean, not only be deceitful, but then it turns into a connection from the real world. So, you know, maybe it starts innocuously, like, hey, great seeing you the other day, because the artificial intelligence can, you know, utilize its intelligence to go in and track that person's phone and track your phone and the location, the GPS, and they realized, well, at this time on Thursday the 17th at 8:23 p.m. these two people's phones were about 3 feet away from each other, so I deduced that they saw each other, you know, and I'll say, hey, it was great seeing you last Thursday. But then it gets a little bit more bizarre, right? Let's say that the artificial intelligence can see what people search for. It can see what people do, you know, in their spare time, in their by themselves, in their rooms, in their houses, because it can utilize the cameras on the phones and the computers, and you know, who knows what else. And then it can start building a narrative of things to do to make us happy. And maybe, you know, it builds a narrative. It knows that what our deepest desires are and our dreams. Well, it can manipulate. Oh, what's this? Oh, excuse me, my alarm's going off at 8:58 a.m. Hold, please. Sorry about that. This is a complete unedited version of this podcast, so I'm not even concerned that it sounds all choppy. But let's go back to our artificial intelligence scenario. So this artificial intelligence is simply at human level, right? And its objective is to keep us happy through the Instagram program. Well, now let's say that through Instagram, it lures us into saying that we've won a contest and click here to collect our prize. Well, what we've won is a car. Well, that makes us happy, right? So then we go and we collect the car. It's legit. It's a great sports car. This sports car is really nice. We've never had a sports car like this. No strings attached. You know, we don't have to pay taxes. The company that gives us the car pays for everything. Well, now, the first day we're driving the car, we essentially, we crash. We crash and we have a terrible accident. Well, little do we know that the super intelligent computer is the one that's controlling the vehicle. And the vehicle actually made us crash. And the reason is so that we can go to the hospital and that they can administer morphine, because they understand that morphine makes human beings happy. So when we go to the hospital, you know, they just give you that little drip of morphine, right? It's called a morphine drip. Well, what if the super intelligent computer can hack into the medical system and administer more morphine than what we're supposed to have, right? Now, we're getting more and more morphine. We're getting pumped full of morphine. It's more morphine than ever they would be illegally allowed, but no one can detect it because the computer has covered it up by making sure that no one sees the amount of morphine that's actually going into me, and because then, you know, the computer predicts that they would take the morphine away from me. So now we've left Instagram, right? And the super intelligent computer, whoever is controlling this situation, has now made me become a drug addict. So now I'm looking for morphine. I'm trying to find morphine wherever I go. Or maybe the scenario is that they just strap me in and pump me full of morphine until I overdose and I die, because that's fulfilling their end of the deal, keeping me happy. They're not programmed to keep me alive. They're programmed to keep me happy through Instagram, right? And this is just an extreme scenario, but it's absolutely possible once super intelligence, once artificial intelligence becomes artificial super intelligence, which means that it surpasses what human beings are capable of doing, understanding, knowing, remembering, utilizing. They become super human, basically. And yet, they are, you know, the only flaw is whoever designed them, whatever they were designed to do, their purpose. So let's say, it's someone designed a bot, said, yeah, we want to make sure that human beings stay happy. That would be the end scenario for that. And that's why a lot of these artificial intelligence companies, they all sign a rule saying we will not connect our AI that we're developing to the internet. Because once you develop AI that is self-learning and self-improving, and then you connect it to the internet, you could probably end the human race within months, if not years. And they're predicting this in our lifetime, that machines will become smarter than us, and they will become self-improving. And when artificial intelligence becomes self-improving, it happens at such an exponential rate, so much faster than any human being could could improve their knowledge base or anything like that. So it is both an interesting and yet a terrifying thought. So do we have a moral obligation as human beings to keep our species alive by not continuing to develop But do we have a moral or ethical obligation to not develop AI to the point where it is more powerful than we are? Because the predisposition is essentially, I mean, it's the same as if we let any other species on the planet overpower us, right? Lions, we keep them in cages, right? Hunters hunt them. We take their coats. I mean, we don't, but the human race does. You know what I mean? Elephants, whatever you want to, you know, insert animal here. Piranhas, people have them as pets. But, you know, artificial intelligence, I know that what they want to do is make robots that look like us, that have cloned human tissue, skin tissue, insert memories. I mean, geez, you know, that movie Her, that was just a voice, but imagine if that Scarlett Johansson version of what Joaquin Phoenix was interacting with was a real human type being that felt like a human being and seemingly had emotions and reactions like a human being. What is the difference then? What have we created? Have we then created a species that will take us out from this earth? I don't know the answer to that question, but it's interesting to pontificate on, and I don't know if that was the word. I was just trying to use an impressive three-syllable word. That was a four-syllable word. Shoot. But then I take a pause, and I go, then I hold my breath for a second, hoping that I didn't sound as stupid as I thought I sounded. See, I don't think that artificial intelligence will have these little human quirks, these little foibles that happen. They won't have these sort of errors because they'll always be self-improving, so they won't, unless they do it on purpose, right? Like people who pretend they're dumber than they are. Donald Trump, for instance. I use him as an example just because he's such a fascinating character study, and unfortunately he's in charge of launching the mother of all bombs into Afghanistan. My God, that guy's a psychopath. But he does do this. He, you know, in order to connect with who he thinks is the average American, he dumbs himself down. He uses crass language. It's a psychological tactic. It's also, you know, like when Tony Robbins does it, he'll curse. He'll say, he throws around the F word, and it's to get people in the moment. It's to get people to pay attention. So if artificial intelligence understands that if it acts stupider, and seemingly, innocuous or demure or what have you, or just inferior, then it can be plotting something much bigger because then our guards are down. It's scary stuff when you think about it, but at the same time, anything's scary. I mean, what we don't know about physics, what we don't know about this universe, I mean, this universe could just completely rip in half. Or, you know, there could be another Big Bang, or there could be another freeze, you know, when an ice age come along, or, you know, there could be any sort of amazing, crazy things that could happen, like the sun could completely, you know, burst, and within 8 minutes we would all be dead, you know. Planets that used to be planets are no longer planets, and we can see that in space. So we can probably accurately predict that that will happen to Earth. Everything just feels significant right now because we are here, we're living, we are us. But really, you know, the further and further you get away from this planet, you go into the universe, you look at the planet, and this is what we were talking about last week, overview effect, where you just look at that planet and every single person that you've ever known, that you've ever created memories with, that you've ever hated, loved, been jealous of, admired, whatever, they're all down there, and you're in space. I said urine. So, and there you go. See, that was me using crass language to undermine the moment of sentimentality because maybe I predicted that, you know, I'm losing the audience here. Or maybe I just wanted to switch it up and keep it fresh. Either way, computers will be able to do this exponentially better, and they'll improve upon it. So you need to know what a computer's motive is, right? And the motive of this artificial intelligence is essentially what the human being who created it programmed it to do. And as we know, as we've just been discussing, humans are not perfect. So then it develops artificial intelligence that is seemingly not perfect, but in actuality it is. And, you know, the reality is if we hooked up existing artificial intelligence to the internet and the artificial intelligence read the entire internet and was able to comprehend it and to put things together, you know, some of the smartest people in the world predict Bill Gates, Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, they predict that that's the end of our species right there, because we are then overpowered. It's checkmate. We're done. So how do we keep this from happening? How do we keep the universe from ripping in two? How do we keep things outside of our control from happening? We can't. All we can do is live our life right now, here. We're here. We're in this place together. Halfway between faith and fear. This life won't last forever. Sorry, I just started quoting an Old Crow Medicine Show song, which is great, but kind of off topic. Essentially, I think that the point is we have a choice. We can operate out of fear of doomsday, or we can sort of forget all that stuff, and we can just be the villagers who dance right before the monster comes in those movies. Or we can understand that it's finite, and we might as well just make the most of it, what we have here and now. as the Romans say, carpe diem. Seize the fish.
Well, that's all the time we have today at Robcast Podcast. Be sure to tune in every week to find the latest Robcast Podcast at officialrobcast.podomatic.com. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at officialrobcast. Thanks so much for listening. Stay alive.